Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome, everyone. Welcome online. Good to have everybody here today. We've been talking about the sons of God. How many of you remember mentioning some? I think weeks before that, we talked about the battle ground is in your mind, or warfare, you should say. The battle's in the mind. And we're going to continue with these thoughts on the sons of God. There's a lot to be said. But one of the things I'm going to get into, possibly some here today and more in the near future, is glory. How many of you know what glory is? How many of you have ever glorified something or walked in a glory? Because when you say that, you think, well, that could be good, that could be bad, huh? I got a little writing here I read. I'm going to read it to you real quick. A gentleman said, glory is the exhibition of the excellence of the subject to which it is ascribed. Concerning God, it is the display of his divine attributes and perfections. Sounds pretty good, huh? When you look at the scripture, and the word glory is in the Bible like 371 times without the other variants of glorified or glories or anything like that. But the Bible points to many times with glory about greatness, and there's different glories that the scripture talks about. Maybe you could think of some here real quick, but in Paul's writings, 1 Corinthians 15, what we commonly refer to as the resurrection chapter, he said there's different glories for different bodies. When I say that, he said there's one glory for the sun, another glory for the moon, and another glory for the stars. So there's the glory of God, and there's a glory of man. And there's a difference between a heavenly glory and an earthly glory. There's glory celestial and glory terrestrial. And so we're going to talk about some of these things here today. And if you have your Bibles, let's go over to Hebrews, the second chapter. I'll probably be reading around the ninth verse. Because what we're going to start off this week is showing some of the works of Jesus. There's a scripture in the Bible that says if all the works of Jesus were written, the books of the world couldn't contain everything that he did. So we're not going to try to get everything. We're going to focus in on some very specific things that Jesus was sent from heaven to accomplish and to do. And much of that, very much of it, is with the sons of God. Paul said that the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God, and that they are going to be delivered from the corruption of bondage to the glorious liberty that God puts them in, the glorious liberty of God. You remember when we were talking about warfare, that we talked about the spirit of bondage. You remember that? The spirit of bondage. Well, the creature, being the sons of God, were made subject unto vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him, God. We're the creatures. Sons of God are creatures. By reason that God subjected us, the sons of God, to vanity in hope. In hope of salvation. In hope of a deliverance from any bondage or any corruption that we're in. Now, again, back to the resurrection chapter, when it's talking about the difference between flesh and spirit, it's talking about the different bodies, and you go from a body that's sown in dishonor and raised in glory, okay? Now, Julie's going to really like this, because her and I have been talking some about how do you get glorified? How do you glorify God? All these things will be pretty cool to talk about, wouldn't they? And to see if you have ever been glorified with God, or if you've ever glorified God. Now, just simply put, how many of you have ever prayed, and at the end of your prayer, you say, "And to you, Lord, all honor, all glory, and all power." Well, the Bible says it. I've prayed that many, many times. And here's the thing about God. Jesus himself, you cannot take his glory. There are times that individuals attempted to take the glory of God. But I will tell you a little secret. Because of his mercy and in grace, Chris and he'll share it with you. If you go to try to take it, you're going to be a thief. That's not good. But did you know, and I'll speak this very boldly right now, for everyone of you in this room that is a believer of God, it is his will that you share in his glory. Did you know that? We'll look at some scriptures. You know, Walker, your Father, which is in heaven, desires for you to share in his glory. And Jesus himself prayed for us that we would be glorified with the glory that he had with his Father in the beginning. Now, is it just, have you noticed a pattern this year that when we start talking about stuff, it's not just words? How many of you remember, what was trust? If you trust, you follow. What was love? Huh? It's more than just a word, isn't it? Worship, Walker, was to serve. There's actions, in other words. James said, love not in word, but in deed and in truth. So there's to do. There's things to do. You know, the old saying, actions speak louder than words. You know, when we talked about love, we talked about how many times we say to one another, I love you. And that's good. That's awesome. We pray, say, Lord, I love you. But are you showing it? Are we really doing the work of our trust, of our worship, of our love towards God? And guess what? Do you think when it comes to glory, there's going to be an action to it too? I'm setting you guys all up. Am I not? All right. Let's turn to Hebrews, the second chapter. I'm going to read two or three verses here. Because again, I don't know how far we'll get into the glorying here today, but I do want to talk to you about two sons of God, very specific. One being the only begotten Son of God, and the other one being us. You know, there's a difference between Jesus and every other son. Is Adam called a son of God? Yes, he is. Is Adam Jesus? Absolutely not. There's only one Jesus, and Jesus is the one that deserves all glory, all honor, all praise, and as we looked at in worship, he's the only one that's to be worshiped because he's God manifest in the flesh. Does that make sense? A little recap, remember the book of Revelation? John is receiving the instructions of the revelation of Jesus Christ. He goes to bow down and worship before the angel. What does the angel tell him? No. I'm paraphrasing, but no. Don't do that. I'm of thy fellow brethren, the prophets. Worship God. Did it twice, remember? The angel knew that there is only one that deserves the worship. And then we talked about when Jesus would meet with people and he would heal them, he would do different things. They'd come to worship him. And he didn't stop him. Why? Why did the angel stop John and Jesus allowed himself to be worshipped? Because he knew who he was, Walker. He knew. And this is an awesome scripture because I'll let the cat out of the bag real quick. This is how you glorify God. Jesus said, my Father and I are one. Julie knows this. I've taught it to her many times. She's been speaking about it lately. He said, my Father and I are one. And we'll go through the scriptures, but in John 17, when Jesus prayed for his disciples, would you count his disciples as sons of God? Absolutely, absolutely. When he prayed for his disciples, which were to be the apostles, ordained from the beginning, predestined to that ministry, he said, I don't just pray for them. I pray for all those that would believe on me through their word. So when you hear a word from Paul, are you believing it? When you hear a word from John, are you believing it? How about Peter? Because the Bible's full of words from ministry, from Jesus himself and those that he has sent. Now, he said, I don't just pray for them, but for all those that believe on me through their words. And he also prayed and said, Father, glorify them. Glorify them with the glory that I had with you in the beginning. And what else did he say about it? Make them one as we are one. I and you, you and me, them and us. I'm paraphrasing. We can read the scriptures. But did you know, and I'm going to put it out there because as we read and as we study this lesson and go through these, who knows, it might take weeks, that the way you are glorified is just like Jesus said about those disciples, I've given them your word, and they believed. Or is it St. John, first chapter in the 12th verse? But to as many as believed in him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. So God ordained it from the beginning. He sends you a word. Did I get close enough?
Even to them that believe on his name.
Well, what is his name? It's Jesus. Is it also not the word of God in the book of Revelation? Did he have it's funny, I've listened to people. It said he had a name on his vesture. And they say that's a tattoo. His name is called the word of God. They say his whole thigh says the word of God. Whatever. He did say in the writings to have no, I'm not going to look at anybody, that to Israel that they shouldn't have no cuttings in their flesh, so whatever. But when you receive a word from God, it's an invitation to partake of his glory. You'll understand these things more as we go through this. Hebrews, the second chapter and the 9th verse. So this week we're going to talk a whole lot about Jesus, the Son of God, what he was sent to do, what he accomplished, and all of it's going to be surrounded around the sons of God. How does that sound? Verse 9, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. Jennifer, is it okay to say, Lord, you deserve all glory? It says it right there. He's crowned with all glory and all honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. Now, here's what I'm after. Look at this. For it became him for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through suffering. So, God, your Father, our Father, he says, for it became him for whom are all things and by whom are all things in bringing many sons unto glory. Your Father which is in heaven solidified this from the beginning. His sons, he desires for them. He is going to bring them unto glory. And how's he going to do it? He's going to do it through his Son. He's going to do it through Jesus. This is Jesus' mission. This is Jesus' send. This is what he does in the earth. Now, remember, there's a difference between a heavenly glory and an earthly glory. And we talk about, what other glories can you think of? Did Jesus talk about the glory of Solomon? Huh? He likened it to the flowers that toil? But what did he say? A greater than Solomon is here. You'll notice as we go along, as we teach and talk about this, when it's talking about glory, it's talking about greatness. Okay? Now, let me see if I want to go any farther before I talk to you. Yeah, I do. For it became him for whom are all things and by whom are all things in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. Who is the captain of their salvation? Okay, so it's talking about God your Father. It's talking about Jesus. And then it also says, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through suffering. Who's there? Who's the there? It's the sons of God. We got all three right here, okay? Is there a difference in this between Jesus as the only begotten Son of God and those that he are sent to be heirs of salvation? Let me teach it like this. Let me put it to you like this. When we're talking here about the captain of your salvation, we're talking about a mature son of God. The maturest it gets, Jesus himself. He is the captain of your salvation. So in a work from our Father towards Jesus himself, how did he make him perfect? Thank you. through sufferings. Another place in Hebrew it says, though he were a son, yet learned he obedience through the things which he had suffered. Now that's a whole subject in itself, right, Tim? We could teach three parts on the sufferings of Christ. If we suffer with him, what happens? We'll reign with him. We'll be glorified with him. So Jesus is made perfect through sufferings. Well, what about the, let's say it this way, the younger sons? The ones that haven't experienced the glory of heaven. The disciples, you and I. See, there's only one that was with the Father in the beginning. As Jesus said, glorify me, Father, with the glory that I have with you in the beginning. But because of Jesus, because of his prayer, because of his work, he's come to get us. He is coming to get his creation. And all the creatures has an earnest expectation of the manifestation of the sons of God. So what is Jesus going to do? He's going to do the will of his Father, Walker. There's a lot of things that Jesus did in order to perform what we just read right here. Let me read one more verse. So he's going to bring many sons into glory, and the purpose for Jesus was to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. Now look at it. For both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all one. Who's it talking about right there, Julie? Your Father and Jesus, just like he said in John, I think it's 10 and 30. You can check me, Walker. My Father and I are one. So he said, for both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one, for which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren. So he comes, he sent from heaven to the earth where there are sons of God that have never partaken of his glory, that have never been glorified together with him, and the work that he did, Julie, was to come and get, according to John 17, those that his Father had given him. And what was he going to do with them? Make them one. Make them one with us. How does he do it? He gives them a word. He said, I've manifested thy name to them. And what did he say they did? They kept it. They kept your word. They kept your name. They believe I'm from you, Father. Now glorify them with the glory that I had with you from the beginning, which would be a oneness. So have you ever imagined for a second the will of God, the reason that you are on this planet, whether you're male or female? See, in Christ Jesus, there's neither male nor female. He doesn't do gender like that. He looks at you like his offspring. We are his children, sons and daughters of God, if you want to say it that way. But he has a very specific will for us. And that is to get us, the sons of God, back with him and partake of that glory together. Amen? Now, there's different types of glory. Does anybody want to share anything that they've ever been glorified in here? And your mind's going to go, whoa, are you talking about God? Are you talking about heavenly things? Are you talking about earthly things? I got to share a little bit of glory yesterday. I got a call and found out that Tim Jr. is having a wrestling tournament over in Exeter, my old alma mater. That's where I graduated from. Wrestled there myself. As a matter of fact, for the longest time, they don't have a Hall of Fame up there anymore. But my uncle was the first one, Dwight Heron, to be put in the Exeter Hall of Fame for wrestling. My dad's brother. But go over there to see Tim wrestle, and I had missed the first match. He pinned that young man, isn't that correct? And so we're waiting around there and hanging out, and you know, they're encouraging Tim, and I noticed this little guy. I pointed him out to Tim. He couldn't, Tim Sr., he couldn't have been 100 pounds, but he looked like a little stump, man. The guy was muscular, and he was compact, but he had this big old smile on his face. It didn't take long to realize why. He goes over to the booth. He goes over by the referees where they're at, and they give him a medal. And Tim and I are looking. I said, well, what place he take? Tim said, looks like gold. I said, look like silver. I don't know what. And sure enough, he comes. And this was the coolest thing. Tim, I don't know if you remember this or Jen. He gets that medal from the other side of the room. He gets it like this. It's a big medal, nice one, with a ribbon. He holds it like this, and he walks in front of the whole crowd. He's showing it off. He's showing it to everybody. And you know what? You say, well, are you going to say that's wrong? No, I'm not. Let the kid be proud of himself. Or you say, pride is bad. Doesn't the Bible say, not a novice, lest being lifted up with pride, he fall into the condemnation of the devil? Please, this is why I asked you to pray for discernment. Know the difference between the pride of the devil and a young man that's worked really hard and won a wrestling match and is being glorified, if you want to say it like that, to some degree, because it's not the same. And now, Tim, we get to watch this match. A tough kid, man. Give him a tough time. But Tim, in wrestling nowadays, if you get 15 points ahead, you point that person out. It's also called a technical. Is that right? They changed a little bit of stuff. When I was in wrestling, the takedown was 2 points. Now it's 3 points. They got a little bit of different rules, but I was enjoying it. And Tim gets this kid, wrestles hard, and points him out, gets a technical, gets ahead by 15 points. They stop the match. He wins first place, right? Was there any glory in that at all for young Tim? Absolutely. And it should be. Where does it go south? If you get proud and you start thinking that you're greater than God and God didn't help you with anything. See, this is why when you watch sports, like we're getting ready to watch the Super Bowl, or you watch things like the World Series. My favorite sport is MMA, you know. I like UFC the best, but I'll watch them all. Most of the time, they try to be very careful, Sophie, and they'll tell people, all glory to God. First thing, right, when you go to enter in, I just, first of all, before I say anything, I want to give all glory to my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That's cool. But you know what? Those commentators, if you watch them, they don't really like it a lot. They want you to talk to them about the question they asked you. Because they asked you how hard it was. Who do you want to fight next? All these things. And you can see them there just waiting. Okay, that's okay. But let's get on to this interview, you know. So a lot of times people that achieve unto, and it is a greatness, isn't it? If you're the greatest fighter in the whole world, that's pretty great. So with that kind of attention, those kind of accolades, you do got to make sure your head doesn't swell so big it can't walk through the door with you when you go places. You know what I mean? So what do you want to do? And Tim distills this in his children, Jen also. Hopefully all of us do. We want to stay humble. We want to make sure to always stay humble. And what else? Remember God. That's what they say. I couldn't do any of this without Jesus. I couldn't do any of this if God didn't do it for me. Remember that. Because there was a man, king of Babylon named Nebuchadnezzar. He forgot it. And what happened to him? He walked in the temple. He raised his hands and he says, look at this great kingdom that I am done. He also said at one point, you can go back and read it in the book of Daniel, I am God. I am a God. Now that is where you get in trouble. A year to the day, that king Nebuchadnezzar, which was a king of Babylon, or confusion, Babel, was removed from his position, became a beast in the field, grew claws like a bird, feathers. Huh? His feathers were wet from the dew of heaven. And he stayed like that until when? Until he came back to himself. And realized, man, guess what? I'm not God. But let's do a better way of doing this. Let's follow Jesus, okay? Because he's our greatest example. None of us have ever experienced the glory in heaven like Jesus experienced being one with his Father. But I'm going to tell you right now, it's the will of God that he works that for us and gets us back there and shares that glory with us. Go with me to 1 John, the 3rd chapter, the 2nd verse. We'll talk a little bit, well, we'll do 1 and 2, a little bit more about the works of Jesus. When Jesus manifested in the earth, he did some great works, didn't he? Did he cast out devils? Did he raise the dead? Did he open blind eyes, open deaf ears, healed the lame? He preached like nobody ever preached. They did. Where does this man get this from? You know, he fed what, 5,000 one time with a couple baskets of bread and some fish, fed 7,000. He did some great, great works. But did you know, and I've said this before, and I'm going to say it openly to you, even though Jesus healed and did a lot of things for a lot of folks, that was 12,000 he fed at two different occasions. Do you know his purpose for descending from heaven to this earth to be manifest in the flesh was to get those 12? And one of them, Daryl, had a devil. Judas Iscariot that betrayed him. So what did God do? I got somebody, that's right, Daryl. I got one that's born out of due season here. I'm going to bring Paul in. They tried to choose the next replacement. It didn't work out so good. But God said, I got Paul back here. We're going to bring him in, and he's going to fulfill the 12 that are the 12 foundations of New Jerusalem. Their names are written. Pretty cool, isn't it? So there's quite a bit of glory and honor that Jesus shares with these sons. But what about us? Can we partake of the same, what you're going to see as we go along? Yes, you can. And it is the will of God. Remember, we talked about worship, and we shared those things. Does worship and glory possibly go together? When you're worshiping God, Walker, what we said was to serve him. By your works, are you honoring him and giving him glory? Or are at times our works doing the opposite? Are we trying to glorify ourselves? Interesting. Now, did I read everything I wanted to read? Verse 11. For both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one, for which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren. They're his brothers. They're sons of God. We are of the brethren of the Lord, sons of God with him. 1 John, the third chapter, and we're going to read, start in verse 1. See how many we're going to read here. We mentioned this before. John said, behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Now that's interesting, because we talked about love being an action, right? So he said, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. So does God stop right there and just say, this is how I show you I love you, I'm calling you a son of God? Or listen to me, does he make you a son of God? Is that how he shows you the love? I'm not just going to say it, Merle. I'm going to do it. I'm going to make you. Isn't it, Walker, you read St. John 1 and 12? Read that for us. Doesn't it talk about becoming a son of God? Let me look at this again. Do you have it? Okay.
I'll start in 11. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God.
Now hold on a second. It says he came unto his own, and his own received him not. So God can come to you or come to some, and they won't receive him? Is that right there talking about Israel? It is talking about Israel. Is Israel sons of God? So we have sons of God that will reject the Lord? Matter of fact, real quick sidebar on this. Let's go back just for a minute. It said that we're going to make that God's going to make the captain of our salvation perfect through sufferings. We're going to do a little sidestep for a minute. What were some of the things that Jesus suffered, and how much have you suffered? That's one of the biggest ones right there. Rejection, because that's what we're talking about right now. In that Walker, when he came into his own, they didn't receive him. They rejected him. Can you imagine creating something and it turning against you? Hopefully nobody's kids ever do that to you, to us. Huh. They suffered rejection. Go ahead, Tim. They hated him without cause. That's beautiful. Did he have to not suffer knowing that I've received a commandment of my Father that I'm going to lay down my life, but I have a commandment, I will take it up again? And Daryl, he didn't really count that as a suffering, did he? Although he suffered on the cross. It says, for the joy that was set before him, he endured the shame. He endured the cross. He despised the shame. Go look it up. It was for the joy. He counted all of it a joy, Daryl, to suffer for the Lord. That's pretty amazing. So, anything else you want to say before I continue on?
They accused him of being a devil.
They accused him many times of many things, being a drunkard, being born of fornication, of being a devil, casting out devils by Beelzebub. He suffered a lot of things, and we'll get into that. We're going to go right back to where we were and continue on a little bit more. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that. See, we're sons right now. It doesn't appear what we're going to be, but what else did he say? But we know. We don't know exactly how it's going to appear. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. See, when I talked about the different sons, a mature one and a young one, us young sons, those disciples, those young sons, could have never gotten to heaven. They could have never partaken of the glory of God without Jesus. He's the only one that could do it. There's only one way into the Father. How is it? I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man could come unto the Father but by me. So today, because I'm almost done here for this part, know when you leave here today, Ella, that a part of God's will for you and what God wants for you is for you to be with him, one with him, and share in his glory. Isn't that cool? See, some people would say, well, he went to get him to bring him into glory. That just means that he's going to take him to heaven, which would be pretty glorious, huh? And that was Julie's go-to word for the longest time. Glorious. I'm not a betting man, but if I was to bet, I would say somebody at her work used to say that a lot, and Julie picked it up. But it's more than just making it to heaven. What we're hearing today and learning today is you actually become one with Jesus. Jesus is one with his Father. We become a partaker of all the glorious things that God has given to his Son, as we are sons of God also with him. I think it says about the sons, Daryl, they're joint heirs. We're joint heirs. We cry, Abba, Father, being adopted into sonship with Jesus himself. This is one of the great purposes that he does. Here, I'll close with one more. It's in the same chapter. It does say, after this, and every man that hath this hope in himself, or in him, purifieth himself, even as he is pure. Now let's go down to verse 8. You can read those other verses just for time's sake. I'm going to go right here. John said, he that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose, Carrie, there's purpose here. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested. Wait a minute. Didn't it say, Walker, he was manifested, or he come to bring many sons unto glory? Is this another part of the work of Jesus, what he's doing? For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Real quick, what are some of the works of the devil, folks? Is he a liar from the beginning? He can't tell the truth. He sinned from the beginning, we just read right there. Is he an accuser? All those things, right? Now, real quick, let's do this. He said, for this purpose, the Son of God was manifest, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Anybody ever have problems with the devil? But wait a minute, I thought he was manifested to get rid of all that. Huh? Is the devil, you can't say alive and well, but he's active, you know? He ain't doing so well. He don't like where he's at, I'm going to tell you right now. condemned. But we even see in the Bible, after Jesus' resurrection, where there's some that the works of the devil were still working in. So what's the difference? Did he really do it or did he not? He did do it. Where did he do it at? In himself. Walker nailed it right there. In himself. And because he did it, we can also. He's our example. He's what we follow. Remember when he said, Julie, the prince of this world cometh? When he was getting ready to be betrayed into the hands of sinners? The prince of this world cometh and he hath nothing in me. Because of Jesus, he has performed the purpose of manifesting and destroying the works of the devil within himself as this mature son that I'm talking about for you. But you know else why he did it? So us younger sons. So us younger sons, not as mature, can follow his path, follow his lead. The only begotten Son of God, in his maturity, left a glory from heaven to come to a place, even put on a body of dishonor, terrestrial flesh, leave that glory, come to this earth for you and I, for the sons of God, for a manifestation, Julie, of the sons of God. And we're going to get into some more stuff here about these things. I told the story about being at Tim's wrestling match yesterday. And it was a pretty glorious thing to watch you win that and get that medal and take first place. My grandson Carson was at the state tournament this last weekend, and he won two and lost two. I tell you what, anytime you make to the state tournament, you win anything, you're doing pretty good. That's fourth grade. I started wrestling in the fourth grade. I got to share this story with you real quick, okay? I think I lost every single match fourth grade. I was pretty much seeded to win it the seventh grade year, and we were going to Sacramento where the state tournament was. Things are different nowadays. When we were kids, even through high school, everything, when you weighed in, you had 30 boys stark naked waiting to get on that scale. I told my wife, like, she's like, what? You have no extra weight. You got it, right? Got to get it, make the weight. But I went to get on the scale, and my coach looks at me and goes, turn around. And I had contracted measles or chicken pox, one or the other, whatever it was very evident. I think it was measles. And I told him, yeah, well, let me get my clothes back on. Let's get on up there. He goes, no, you can't wrestle. I said, no, I'm getting dressed. I'm going to wrestle. I'll tell them, you are sick. You cannot wrestle. I was out that year. So the next year, you know, made you just more determined, made me fight hard. Eighth grade year, had the collegiate, which is your school. They have a freestyle, which is club wrestling. That's done in the more in the summer, right, still? And but I wrestled up in Sacramento and won the whole thing. Won state that year. But it was really interesting because the way they did it was there was all these people inside of a gymnasium, and they turned all the lights off. Now, they had called us out, and this is funny. I don't know if they still do this. They predicted who was going to win and who wasn't. And they put all the ones they thought were going to win on one side, basically the favorite, and then all the ones they thought would lose on the other one. I was on the one that was going to lose side over there. They called out the kid I was going to wrestle against, 123-0. They said his name did all this and that. I think they did me first. I was 13-0. He was 123-0. Nobody expected me to win whatsoever. I beat the kid by points. But they bring this light down, and they put it right over you, and you wrestle right in front. Everybody else is in the dark, and you just got this circle where you two are going after it and getting it. And I actually won, I don't know what they call it, most valuable for all the weight classes, and they gave me another trophy for that too. Well, man, I thought, some pretty good glory here, huh? And then I went to freestyle, and I won the state, and that also was an underdog, wasn't supposed to win, and won two state titles that year. But you got to listen to this, Tim. I didn't stay focused. When I went from eighth grade to high school, I found there was these things called girls. And things that people in high school do that you probably shouldn't do. I wouldn't do it if I could go back. Don't do it. But my point is I didn't stay focused, and they were looking at me at the eighth grade, watching me scouts through the through high school to get a free ride to Bakersfield, which if I'd have done good, Bakersfield would have been the last choice probably. But I didn't stay focused, and I blew my opportunity. Now, we'll end with this. Do you regret it? You could look at it like that, but what do we always say around here about regret? If you learn from it, then there's no regret. If you don't learn from it, you keep doing things over and over, you're going to live in regret, and regret's a real bad place to be because it leads you right to condemnation, Julie. So, learn some things, change some things, different person today, and the things that we look at and talk about being glorious here, they pale in comparison. To the experiences I've had now in God, Daryl, you can keep that first place. You can keep that title. You can keep all that. I just need to see Jesus. I need to hear a word of God. And I need to be a partaker of that glory with him because I believe on his name. How many of you are with me here today? Amen. God bless you. I appreciate you. Listen to my words closely, okay? You stay focused. You stay humble. And you'll stay a champion, okay? God bless you guys. Appreciate you all very much.